La 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 la.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
That's enough, Jordan. That's enough tomfoolery.
Tom who?
This week on All My Children, Taylor kills that turd Fletcher.
Kathy goes Wednesday Addams on Crystal.
Bella really smellers, and it ain't good.
Carmen and Jerkson are still giving us the heebie-jeebies. And now we know where the f*** is Josh.
All this week
on the Pine Valley Podcast. Watch,
so you don't have to.
You know what? I look at us as like the daytime version of Regis and Kelly. You being Regis and me being Kelly.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
A girl could still dream about a Jake and Josh Amanda sandwich.
I didn't mean to have sex with Adam. I fell and tripped onto his penis. I'm so sorry, Tad.
You're watching those unedited versions on SoapNet again because I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
I'm going to say it right now. I am not immune.
He locks her out. She's like, yo, I'm going to lock that biatch out.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending September 5th, 2008. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And we are so excited to be back after Labor Day.
Woo!
After Labor Day.
Did you have a nice Labor Day?
I had a lovely Labor Day. Thank you all. You all are so wonderful. Our listeners are the most supportive listeners. And the one thing I will tell you, they have been reading the Eckhart Tolle.
The who?
Eckhart Tolle.
What's that? What's the Eckhart Tolle?
A New Earth. And I'm not getting paid for this either, people. A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purposes from Oprah's Book Club.
Okay.
You never heard of this? No. This is that book. It's all about like living in the moment and being kind and not thinking and just living and all that stuff.
Okay. And I'm just saying that because... self-help books?
Sort of.
Yeah, okay.
Who was it? Was it our new listener, Norn969, who said something about somebody listening to Eckhart Tolle? Oh, I forgot. I wish I remembered. I never remember when I want to remember this stuff.
You people, I told you to take notes.
All right, fine. Listen, my point being is that all you people wrote and said, because I wrote a little post last week because we didn't get to podcast because I needed to take a break and I wanted to give Jordan Hudson a break and be able to go to the beach and all that stuff. And so our listeners like wrote before. They're like, do what you have to do, Ashley. You work so hard at the podcast. You know, if you want to do every other week, that's fine. As long as we don't lose you. I wanted to cry. It was so loving.
Oh!
It was so nice. We have like a little
loving
family.
Loving, I missed that show.
I know, I know. I missed that show too. But we do. We have like a little family here.
I know, we do. I do think that too. I didn't have a vacation though. I was watching Prison Break. I was catching up on Prison Break because it premiered Monday. So I had to go through. Prison Break and The Tudors are the only two shows that I'm really behind. So I caught up with Prison Break because I wanted to catch up.
You mean you're caught up on the other 78 shows that you watch?
Oh, I'm always caught up on my shows. I was just behind. I'm still behind on The Tudors.
You guys, listen to this.
What? Oh, what are you doing?
It didn't even make, like, his...
It didn't hurt.
That's the sound of my fist. It didn't hurt him at all. That's the sound of my fist on his muscle.
Will you stop? You're giving us such an illusion that I'm still kind of like...
You are.
You're crazy.
Look at your bicep.
I have not been to the gym in the last 3 days.
He's lying. And first of all, he's so perfectly golden brown. Wow. And his muscle is so muscly.
She's crackhead.
It doesn't even hurt you.
No, it doesn't.
See, there you go.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He works out.
Would you know what hurt me?
What?
All the shenanigans going on backstage at All My Children.
Oh, no. You know what? I want to tell you something.
What?
I don't know anything about this. You have to fill me in. And I'm not playing coy this week, people. I haven't talked to you.
Oh, that's right. We haven't talked.
And we didn't do our usual pre-show talk because it's been a while. So I wanted to let it all come out on the air. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, it's not anything that isn't known. I mean, we know that Josh is off the show. But Soap Opera Weekly, the new Soap Opera Weekly came out. And they actually had a comment from him about his departure from the show.
Tell me.
And according to him, the powers that be... Feel that the audience cannot accept Erica's like aborted child.
Oh, please.
So that's why they're getting rid of
him. That is so stupid. We've had like 2 years to get over this.
I know. And he
finally accepted it.
And supposedly he like mentioned this at the fan club luncheon, which I didn't go to. And he asked the fans to, like, express their, you know, thoughts to the powers that be. I mean, I'm going to be honest about it. Did I like the concept? Did I like the idea? No, I was against it from the beginning. But you know what? Megan McTavish did it, and it's done. You can't undo this.
No, here's the difference.
It's done.
Here's the thing. What? Here's the thing. They are so stupid, the powers that be. Julie Hannah Crap Brothers, Brian Franz. They're really stupid. They think that we've gotten over it. I'm sorry. We've moved past it. Even, what's her name from Soap Opera Weekly? What was her name?
Who?
The old editor.
Oh, I don't want to talk about
him. No, not the nasty one, the good one.
Ooh, you mean my girl.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Ooh, I stumped him. She did that interview on Daytime Comedy.
Mimi Torchin, you didn't stump me, girl. I just need a second. You didn't stump me?
Mimi Torchin might disagree with me, but I feel for the most part like the viewers finally kind of dealt with, all right, it was dumbass, it was stupid, but Josh was such a good actor that we've accepted him, we've gotten over. The one thing we haven't gotten over, they haven't undone, and that is Dixie's death and Brooke's absence are the two things. Those are the two stupid things they did. They need to undo those things, and they're undoing Josh. Bull freaking crap. That's bull. I'm so mad. He's so good. Did you see him today?
All I have to say is, I am not amused.
Thank you. I'm so mad.
I think it's stupid. I think it's really dumb. It's been too, you know what I mean? It'd be one thing if this was like 6 months after the case.
Thank you.
But
that's
it's like going on over two years. It's like you already had Jeff come back. We know that that's definitely her kid. You can't undo this. I mean, and at this point, I don't want it to be undone. I want him on the show.
You know how you
want
to do this?
I want him on the show.
Thank you. You know how you want to do this?
What?
You say, oops, looks like Dr. Madden actually didn't take Erica's aborted fetus because there's no way in hell that that could happen. And so it was all a hoax. You are not Erica's kid. You are, in fact, Dr. Madden's kid. Done. Kablooey. You're on the show. You don't undo it by having Zach off him Tony Soprano.
It's a stupid storyline. It's disgusting, and
stupid storyline stupider.
I'm really upset about it. I really am just very, very upset about it.
I'm actually really glad you didn't tell me that because I was able to get it out on the show.
I'm
pissed.
I was surprised when I read that at Soap Opera Weekly. I was like, that's the reason they're getting rid of him?
I'm pissed.
You realize 2 years later that Megan Matavish's idea was stupid, and now you're trying to rectify it by getting rid of an actor who can actually act and who the audience likes and who's good looking and can act. But yet Aiden's still in the
Thank you.
Ow!
And Terry in Toronto told us that he's not gonna get offed in the tornado.
Like, I don't know who the hell he's sleeping with at ABC that he still has a job.
Hand jobs. Not sex.
You're speculating.
No, I think it's true.
You really think so?
Yes.
And who she's sleeping with that she still has a job?
You assuming it's a she.
Well, look, all I gotta say is this. I have decided that Brian Franz is the devil incarnate. And
Lucifer. And you said it.
Yes,
right?
He's Lucifer.
I love
and
it.
Julie Hann Carruthers and Jill Fahrenfeld are Lilith and whoever the other evil woman is. I don't know. I don't read the Bible that much, but they're evil. The three of them are evil and they need to go from daytime.
Was it Laura or Emily who asked us to recap the week before? I can't do it. I don't recall everything. I know that Opal said when she said hello to Adam, she said, hello, Lucifer.
I know. I know.
That was the best.
That
was the best. What?
No, I'm just really mad at these. I don't understand why Brian Franz. I really believe that they want daytime off the air. I really think that's the only thing I can think of because, you know, I don't know if you know, but Jeannie Francis has been back for the last 2 weeks. And
yes.
I've been watching my General Hospital because
Very
of my
good.
Jeannie Francis.
Yes.
And you know that Jill Fahrenfeld got rid of Jeannie Francis. Did you know that?
Don't cry, Jordan.
Do you know that? She got rid of Jeannie Francis.
I know. All
because
right.
Jeannie Francis wanted the same thing that Tony Geary had. She wanted that little vacation every year. She wanted to go and do them. Her husband was shooting a film. She wanted to go out there with the kids and her husband and be with them.
A woman wants it, she's uppity.
Yeah, and when she's uppity. And also the fact that they didn't like the fact that she had put on some weight. Mm-hmm. Hello, Michael Knight. But anyway. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say it's a double standard.
It's a double standard.
When an actress puts on a little bit of weight, they're on her ass about it. But
unless
the guys...
Unless she's on Guiding Light.
John Gatt.
Okay.
I know. But you know what I think they're doing on purpose? What? I think to get back at Kim Zimmer, they keep giving her like these moo-moos and things to wear. They're the most unflattering things on her. Like this week, the outfits they put her on made her look huge, even huger than she really was. And I think that's their way of getting back at her. But anyway,
I'm sorry.
You know, so that was another thing. They didn't want Jeannie Francis, you know, because she had put on weight, whatever. And that pissed me off. And seeing her this week, by the way, she lost the weight. She looks even thinner now than she did after the second
Jeannie
pregnancy.
Jeannie Francis lost the weight?
Yes, she looks great, great, great. And the scenes with her and Julie Berman, who plays her daughter, you would think that they've been working together for years. There's such a connection. Jeannie Francis is like
commercials, and I was crying at the commercials.
She's like the Mother Earth of that show.
Yeah.
And how they don't understand that that's what you need on this show. You need Laura back. You need more. Instead of this mafia, everybody like... I can't even watch that show. I'm only watching it for Jeannie Francis. I'm telling you. I'm like, the minute she leaves, I'm leaving again. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because this is still the problem that I have with all my children. Mm-hmm. This is still the problem that I have with all my children.
You know, I was reading an article with the casting director of Guiding Light, Rob DeSena.
What did he have to say? He's interesting.
He was talking about casting.
I don't even
know
why he has a job anymore.
He was talking about
casting. They don't bring new characters on Guiding Light. So
I know. They just
what
fired
does he
them.
Do? They fire them or lose them.
They fire them. He was talking about casting, and I feel like he said that a lot of things that they do, like they try things, like the writers, they try stuff and they never know. Sometimes things are a real big hit and sometimes things are a miss in terms of how they cast those storylines.
Right.
He's like, but in daytime you have the luxury of trying all these different things. And I think that that was a very telling comment. You want to know why, Jordan Hudson?
Why?
Because they don't have the luxury of trying different things. They think they do. They treat their shows as if they can experiment. Instead of making smart writing choices, they throw crap against the wall to see what sticks. That's what gets a show canceled. They assume they're not going to get canceled so they can try anything. And that's a bunch of bull. One of these days, these shows are going to get canceled from trying BS. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying, but it's still... I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you to an extent. I mean, it's a matter of I don't know if it's so much that they think that they can just try anything.
Don't
I
they
think,
assume, though? No, doesn't
I don't
that make think, the assumption
I don't
that
think,
they can just try
I don't
try
think that
stuff?
They're assuming. I think they're grasping at straws at this point. Hmm. I think they messed up. Look, the network.
I'm just saying it betrays a mindset.
Yeah, it does.
That's
but
what I'm saying. We can just try it.
The networks messed up by taking the soaps off during the whole OJ thing. That was the first blow to daytime. Because when fans didn't have their soap operas, They said, well, you know, now I can live without them. And a lot of people didn't return. And then with all the other drama that's been going on, it's like slowly the things have been eroding. And they're desperate to do anything to get viewers back. But the way they're going about it is wrong. First of all, you cannot keep starting and stopping stuff. Now it's like if they feel like the viewers aren't liking a storyline or something, they just end it quickly with no explanation, no resolution, no nothing. And where were the days of firing head writers and executive producers when a show wasn't going on? They got rid of Francesca James and Lorraine Broderick because the ratings dipped a little bit because of a homosexuality storyline.
Which one,
show,
Devin?
Huh?
Devin?
What do you mean?
Which homosexual storyline are you talking about?
Kevin, yes, Kevin Sheffield, that storyline. Remember Kevin?
Oh, I thought you meant Devin.
No, Devin was the first one. No, that was in Agnes Nixon's years, girl. The show wasn't going to get hurt by that. But the show did go a little bit down because of that storyline. But the show was so
He's
tight,
amazing, people.
So well written, so well acted at that point. That was the last golden hurrah. This is when Maria went off the plane crash and everything.
Yes.
That was all Lorraine Broderick and Francesca James. Mm. Good quality stuff.
Right.
And they got rid of this executive producer and head writer because the ratings went down just a dip. Meanwhile, Megan McTavish stays on for 3 years and the ratings like plummet down.
Toilet in the toilet.
And yet, it took them forever to get rid of her. And yet, Julie Horan Carruthers is still there. Still there. Jill Farren Phelps, still there. No matter the fact that she's turned General Hospital into a mafiosa thing, like The Sopranos. That's
Nobody
all
cares.
That goes on in that show.
They don't care.
They don't care. And yet, One Night to Live is the only show that cares.
Yeah. Frank Valentino.
He brings back all the old people. I can't even. Let's not get into it because they get upset when I talk about One Night to Live. Because I will start talking about
One Night to Live. We will save it for the end of the show. How's that, people?
One Night to Live was hot this week. Hot.
Listen, people. For those of y'all that ain't watching, we watch.
So you don't have to.
Except we didn't watch last week.
I watched last week.
All right, listen. I watched last week, but I can't recap it. So I got to recap this week. that were in.
We'll throw in some stuff from last week if I can remember stuff.
I will tell you one thing. This was the first solid week, really, of... No. You didn't let me finish my statement.
Okay, go ahead.
Of Chuck Pratt writing the whole week.
Yes, because he started... Well, that, let's recap that. Last week,
fine.
Chuck Pratt's stuff started.
And did the credits change last week or this week?
You know, it changed... What, the opening credits?
Yeah, it
changed... Yeah, let's talk about that.
Uh-oh.
Why is Carmen's picture not on there? Uh-oh. Why is Petey's not... Now, I know they're both recurring. I don't get it. And then Richie and Josh are on their way out. Why are their photos still up? It's going to be another 10...
It's a contract thing,
it's
going
to be another 10 months, though.
It's a contract thing.
And I got to tell you... What's her name look beautiful in the opening credits?
Don't say Randy. Randy looked hot. Randy would look good in a paper
set. Beth Ellis looked really good, too.
I don't got a problem with that. She beautiful.
She looked good, too. Beth Ellis did.
She's still DBTE for me. Like Emily said, DBTE.
They were upset because
Dead
Kobe,
behind the eyes.
And yet Dre's still up there, too.
A phrase you've coined, mister.
What?
Dead behind the eyes?
Who?
You coined it.
Yeah, but I don't think Randy's dead behind the eyes. There's some life behind her eyes. There's some life behind her.
That's not true. That you told me last week, make it good. Last time.
I know, and you learned. Good, that was real good. Ooh, harder, baby. Harder.
She's
but no,
still dead behind the eyes.
She's not dead behind the eyes.
And how's this? How's this? Fletcher's dead, and I don't feel anything.
She was doing her.
I feel maybe relieved.
She was doing her Morales from a chorus line. I felt nothing.
Oh, that
you remember that?
So
I love that song.
That.
I reached right down to the bottom of my soul to feel what I felt inside.
And I tried, and I felt nothing. Nothing.
And that's what you've been feeling.
Chills.
But
I love that.
But that's your song, because that's the way you've been feeling about All My Children lately.
You're right, and I have the chills right now because I disagree
with you. I've been feeling something. I still feel that it's moments and not consistency.
Jordan,
we disagree on All
Jordan,
My Children lately, yes.
You feel something when you walk outside and the breeze blows and you wear it shorts. So come on now, get real.
Oh Lord, have mercy. She is so wrong. Don't be telling my private business.
Listen, people. I'm gonna say that we'll start with Fusion. I know you don't want to.
No, I like the Fusion. Believe it or not, this is the first time that I'm actually liking Fusion. I'm
crazy.
Seeing signs of old Kendall, and I love it. I love Kendall being a bitch.
I hated it.
I'm actually liking this fight going on between Babe and I didn't think I was gonna like it, but
it
I'm liking it.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Why all of a sudden out of the blue you flip the page, you flip the writer, and they all hate each other, and nobody speaks the way they normally speak. Chuck Pratt does not have these characters' voices down yet. I wrote so many sentences that didn't sound like they were coming from the characters' mouths because they just sound generic or stupid, or like the actors literally had trouble saying some of the words.
Like what? Go ahead, let's start.
No.
All right, so
when
what
I
happened
get
if you
to it, I'll tell you.
Okay.
This is what happened. It became a cat fight immediately because Amanda screws over Babe by putting her picture on the Bella presser. First of all, I was laughing when they said presser, and then Kendall had to explain that a presser is an event, a press release type event that publicizes a new fragrance or product.
Okay, I want to find out if that's true because I've never heard of that
I
word
never
presser.
Heard that either.
I never heard of that.
I never heard that.
But okay,
either.
Well.
And then, Babe and Kendall. Actually, and then Amanda and Babe are like sort of fake little catfighting. Not really bad, but a little bit snipping at each other over this. First of all, when did they get an art department? Someone pointed that out. Someone on our block pointed that out.
When did they become a real business?
I don't know. Anyway, so then.
That was funny, though.
Erica comes in, and Kendall asks Erica to decide who should be the face of Bella.
I disagree with you. I thought it was funny. When Erica and Kendall were ragging on when they were being like really nasty with a little snide comment.
What did Erica say? Widespread distribution. Cheap and easy. Tough call, but I'd say I have to go with Babe at that point.
That's great stuff! How
and
could you
then,
not like
but
that?
But you know why? Because this is why I didn't like it. Because Babe and Amanda look at Erica as if she's going to give them a real, truthful, good answer that they could use. As if they don't know that Erica is going to make a snippet at Babe. Erica hates Babe.
I know. That's why it was great.
Like,
stop.
But so what? They look surprised and hurt. It's like, duh, you left yourself wide open.
No,
it
I don't think
realistic.
I don't think they look surprised. I disagree with that. I didn't see a look of surprise or hurt. I had a look of like, especially from Babe, I saw a look of like, why am I even at? Like, she knew what was coming.
See that.
Oh, I saw it. I saw it.
Huh?
No,
what?
I didn't see that. I thought that was I had to disagree with that. I thought that was brilliant stuff. I enjoyed those scenes.
All right, fine. Why is Kendall such a bitch, though? I understand that you want her to be a bitch, but why? What's the justification?
I have to say,
what's the justification?
If you shut up, I'll tell you.
All right, fine. I talk too much on the show.
No, you don't talk too much, but you gotta let me. I know you're very passionate, and I love that about you.
Sorry.
You're very like passionate.
I'm upset today.
She's very upset. She's really not liking it. I can't believe that we're still disagreeing on this. I'm sorry, but Kendall's always been a bitch. I felt that this whole like watered down version that we've been seeing is not the right Kendall. This is the right Kendall. If Kendall was running a company, she'd be like her mother. And that's why I'm loving this aspect of it, because I'm seeing shades of Kendall and I love it. I'm seeing Kendall being like, these are not Kendall's friends. All this Satin Slayer stuff when Erin was working there and Simone, that was all bullshit. This is the real Kendall and I'm loving it. I'm loving me Kendall when she's nasty.
But why would Kendall want her own company to go down?
She doesn't want her own company down. That's why she's trying to put a stop to this, because she feels that this will bring her company down.
Oh,
that's what they keep
God.
Explaining.
Oh, my
she does not.
God.
She is not behind this. She
so
thinks it's a stupid
idea. Why did she
idea.
Stop it? She's the head of the goddamn.
Because she was outvoted.
Company.
She bleep bleep. She was outvoted. Greenlee's in love, so Greenlee doesn't care. Greenlee's an idiot. I'm sorry.
How does Greenlee's one vote override Kendall's one vote?
No, but see, Amanda.
Amanda paid for it. So it doesn't mean nothing. You could pay me $10 million and I wouldn't have sex with Adam. I might do that.
Ew.
Ow!
Are you insane?
$10 million.
Stop it.
That would hurt.
Sex with Adam, please.
It is kind of nasty.
That's repulsive.
That is nasty. Do you know that there are women out there that love him? Do you see all the Harlequin romance books?
If they
were
having sex with him, they couldn't understand him.
That's probably good. Just
well, I don't know. I'm
up.
Vocal. I don't know about you, but I'm vocal.
I've heard. We know. The audience knows. All right, so then what happens next?
They're not like porno over like vocal, but I'm vocal.
Babe stomps off in a huffy huff, a tissy tiff, and she goes and she makes neutral, passionless love to Nipples Jr.
Leave him alone. He's looking hot
all them cutters,
all husky.
Man.
I like him with a little beef on him. I don't know why. He looks hot to me. Like, because he used to have that ripped, lean body when he was on Bold and the Beautiful in General Hospital, but
she's
hotter
like
this.
She's not sexy with him. She's not. She's. I'm telling you, I have a feeling this girl is from out west and is very religious. I just have this feeling. I do. I have this feeling.
She's
about
not very
her.
Sexual. She's not. She's very asexual. I'll agree with
what
you on
her
that.
What's her name again?
Amanda Plummer or something. That's an actress.
Amanda Baker.
Amanda Baker.
Listen to that name, Amanda what? Baker. That is a good girl name.
I manned a baker.
That's a church going girl.
I manned a baker.
No,
I
Amanda.
Oh, Amanda Baker.
Yes. That's a church going girl.
You know what I'm curious about?
Bi curious?
No. That boy that works at Fusion.
Oh, I saw him.
He's
week.
Hot.
He was.
I've seen him a couple of times.
Nice
he's there are some nice little tight slides. Nice. They need to show the boy though. There's like one boy extra that works in Fusion and we want to see more of him. Give him lines. I want him to have lines.
That would be good. I like
I'm more interested in when he's walking around Fusion.
He wasn't the guy. Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself, but he wasn't the guy that Frankie was talking to when Fletcher got.
No, I've only seen him at Fusion.
Oh, all right. Well, this is what happens, people. Everybody gets all dressed up for the party. And first of all, Amanda looks smoking hot.
Oh, Amanda. Okay, I thought you were talking about Amanda Baker because I was like, no, she did not.
I liked her dress, though.
With that big doofus ponytail on the side.
God.
What was up with that ponytail on the side of her hair? She looked like the only He-Man out with this big ponytail on the side of her hair.
She looked at the other side.
She looked like Ugly Betty from like Switzerland or something else.
No.
I just like, Pero what's up with the ponytail?
Yeah, it didn't look good, but I liked her dress. I like the gold dress with the white bottom.
I couldn't get past that ponytail.
Well, Amanda looks smoking freaking hot.
When does she not, though?
I know. I mean,
she's just like breathtaking.
Put her in a paper sack and she's beautiful. Look good.
She's beautiful.
I told you I saw her on the subway. She was wearing a red coat, pink pants, and nasty sneakers.
And I told you that I seen her without makeup.
Beautiful.
And she looks even hotter.
She's prettier. She got that messed up eyebrows, though.
See her alone.
They are messed up.
You are always with the backhanded compliments.
Listen,
you always tell somebody, you look fabulous. Except.
Listen, that's not a backhanded compliment. A backhanded compliment would be, you know, I love that dress because big hips are really in fashion. Something like that. You know what I'm saying?
You're evil.
That's what it would be.
Horrible.
Stuff like that. That would be like backhanded.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Right, I'm digressing.
She's crazy.
So, listen. So, Randy looks fine. Whatever.
She
behind the
hot.
Eyes, Randy looks fine. She's a model. Come on now. She ain't going to look bad. It's not going to happen.
You know who I thought looked good?
Oy, oy, oy.
Troby.
I'm not talking about her.
I'm sorry, but her hair is so... It is so much more flattering when her hair is straight.
I don't
my
like it.
God,
I don't
what
like
a
her.
Difference.
I'm not talking about her.
What a difference.
I refuse.
And she looked good.
You're killing Josh or you're getting rid of Josh and that beast is staying on the show?
No one. Oh my God, I can't believe you called her a beast.
A beast. I called her to a Gucci the beast.
I gotta tell you.
I called Trobe the beast.
I gotta tell you, she stood still when she came in and she looked so beautiful. And then the minute she walked, she slouched over. I was like, she ruined it.
She like morphs.
I thought she was so pretty. I said, oh my God, she looks beautiful. Then she like walked and her hunch came in.
You know what they should do?
Why is she like that?
You know what they should do? They should take a picture of her standing perfectly straight with her mouth closed and then make it giant and then cut it out. And then just like move the paper image around on set, and then you can hear and like have her talk behind it.
She was.
That
actually,
would be an improvement.
She was actually a little bit bearable though on Friday's episode for me.
This is me choking. Because clearly slapping isn't doing it.
No, I really. I didn't say that I loved her. I just said she was bearable.
I can't take it. Petey
and Adam with her was funny. I liked it.
There's something wrong with me, people.
Oh,
I think
God.
I need medication. I'm so angry about it all.
I think she needs medication, too, because I don't understand how she was fine watching All My Children last year.
And this
year she can't.
It. Because the writing
that was
so
me
bad.
Last year.
It was like, Petey, stay away. 2 feet rule. Oh, my God. You're totally gross. Leave me alone. Oh, you're so gross. Leave me alone. Petey, stay away. 2 feet rule.
That was too much.
I'm telling you. See what I'm saying? I can't even
imitate
her.
A little bit more monotone.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, fine. So then they're all dressed, and then Taylor comes on. And she's right now saving the show for me. She came on in her soldier outfit. What do you call that again?
Her soldier uniform. What is that? That's what's your name for it? I'm not in the army.
Liking
I don't know.
Her. She has a very...
Her
she
fatigues.
Understands her fatigues. I think that's right.
Is that it?
I think that's right.
Okay.
She has a very clear grasp already from the get-go on what and who her character is. And I like it. I do. I questioned at first why she was such a bitty, but now I'm getting it a little bit. Now it's all starting to come together for me. You're rolling your eyes.
I am not. Oh my God, I'm just listening to you.
All right, fine. She is doing it for me. She comes in and Amanda drags her to the party. And she comes in, she puts on the one dress she has and she looks like she's going to a funeral. And so then,
that was funny.
It was funny.
It was very old school.
Yeah.
That whole business was very old school on My Children. See, I like the fact that the characters are relating and they're making connections with people they normally don't work with. I like the whole Taylor becoming friendly with Randy and
well, Randy does her
even
makeup.
Even though Amanda has an ulterior motive. See, last week what happened was Amanda realized that there's some kind of going on with Taylor and Jake, and she was like putting a stop to that. And she was like, "You should come in room with me on the boat, on the yacht." And Taylor's like, and she's like, "No, there's plenty of room. It's a big yacht." So that's why Taylor's now living with Amanda. So Amanda keep an eye on her. And notice that then what happened after they saw her in her Morticia Adams dress?
They gave her a makeover.
They gave her a makeover.
And she wore a pretty purple dress off the shoulder.
And she actually looked hot. She has not
really
looked
pretty.
This hot on Guiding. Like, you don't understand. They dressed her like a slob for the last 4 years on Guiding Light. Ooh. So she looked really ragged. Mind you that
great
she was
shoes too.
I was blown away when she came out. I was like, good Lord, who knew Beth Ellis still had it? She looked hot. It.
Her body looks good.
And the best line was when Amanda told Randy, you didn't have to do that good of a job.
That was good. That was good.
Oh, man. I'm loving me my Amanda. Oh, my God. There was so much Amanda this week and last week. I'm like, this is what we need to see more of. Oh, it was funny stuff.
Well, what I didn't find so funny was Fletcher stalking the confusion party.
Oh, that was so stupid.
And meanwhile, Jesse is telling, you know, Frankie that he's all over it. And I'm just like, these people couldn't find Italy on a map. They just really, I mean, the man is so obvious where the boy is. You know what I'm saying? Where Fletcher was. So then Fletcher, of course, finds the ladies and he grabs Randy. Can you go and tell me that scream? She was like, "Ah!" This is it was like a crow. That's literally what it was.
So you felt like you were watching The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock?
I had to check the channel.
You were feeling very Tippi Hedren, huh?
I was very, very Tippi Hedren. But here's what I loved. Paint a picture, people. For all those of y'all that didn't see it, you got to YouTube this.
This is my moment.
This was the moment.
The moment.
All of a sudden, Taylor looks back and she sees that little girl with her neck. Her little neck is enveloped by Fletcher's nasty hands. And she turns around and she runs behind him and grabs him by his throat. And she does a chokehold. And you don't even hear a peep from him. She just does a chokehold and she starts shaking his head like a rag doll. And as she's doing it, people, she's getting flashbacks. And we see her in Iraq in uniform with some man. And all of a sudden, he's like gasping for air. And she takes the top hand on his forehead and she pulls, jerks, and snaps his neck.
She jerks in him?
No, she jerks in him. Yeah, you would think, right?
She jerks in him.
She jerks in him. And then he falls to the floor. And Jake runs up and he puts his hand on the man's neck and he says, he's dead.
That was one of my favorite lines this week.
It was the best line ever.
I want to just go and shake Beth Eller's hand and congratulate her and thank her for putting us out of our misery.
It was the best.
You don't understand. I was like, literally, I jumped up. I put on music. I danced around the room. I was like, ding dong, Fletcher's dead. I could not thank Taylor enough.
You know, I wish we had.
That's horrible to say, but he was so
awful.
I wish we
had a video show, because here's what I would do. I would ask all the listeners to videotape themselves dancing with glee to whatever song they chose at Fletcher's death. And I would put it all together and I would show all our fans dancing and doing jigs. You know that YouTube video where the guy dancing all over the world? That's what it'd be like. It'd be like dancing all over the country after Fletcher died.
Well, it was, you know what? I did, my only problem with it was that it came out of nowhere. I'm talking about like they didn't, this is my problem with Soul Strider. They don't know how to build something up anymore.
Kind of like Josh being an embezzler.
Yeah,
coming
all of a sudden
of
Josh coming out of nowhere as an embezzler. That's what I'm talking about. Like, they could have built this up a little bit better. You know what I mean? I gotta say though that the after effects of all this, the aftermath was really good. I love when Carmen cleared out
Carmen
was like, all right, y'all, go watch up. There's nothing to see here. Go back to the party.
Awesome.
I was like, she was a typical Puerto Rican. She was like, ain't nothing to see here. Get out. I was living for her.
Absolutely.
And so then what happened next? Let's continue with Taylor. Because we were liking Taylor. Because Friday, Taylor had a lot of great moments.
What I did not like.
What?
Was she goes, okay? They like clear everything out.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse comes, and she goes, and Jesse's trying to talk to Randy or somebody, right? Or Amanda, like that. And they start, and then she pops in, and she says, sir. He goes, I can't talk to you now. I'm busy. And she says, sir, I have something to tell you, sir. And he says, what? And she says, sir, I am responsible for that man's death. Yes, sir. A dead nun.
She cracks me up with her imitations. Go ahead, keep going.
So then he gets her in. He becomes a dick. I'm sorry, I'm gonna say he becomes a grade A dick. And he's like, so, looks like you got some explaining to do. And I'm just like, he acts so smarmy and cocky, Jesse does sometimes when he's like questioning somebody. I know you're giving me the evil eye, but
no,
it's true.
I got to tell you, I kind of agree with you.
Thank you.
But the only part that really annoyed me was when he was interviewing her. And he was, I thought he was on her a little bit too much. It's like, let her explain. There was like, he had this one line where he just like, come on, Taylor. Like, I forgot what it was he said. That kind of like rubbed me the wrong way. I'm like, that's not the way you talk to somebody who's been fighting for our country. Regardless of what you think about the war, they're fighting for our country. It's like, show a little bit of respect. Like, I didn't like that about that. Like, the way he addressed her at that when he was, like, grilling her.
But then, it
wasn't like Fletcher was an upright citizen. You know what I mean? He's a pimp.
Fletcher threatened his family. He knew how dangerous that man was.
So why are you... But see, that's the whole thing. I guess that's the thing that irks me about this storyline is, like, do you fear Fletcher? I mean, Fletcher was a joke.
I kind of did. You did?
I didn't. I found him to be like a joke. The fact that everybody was so frightened of him was stupid.
He was turning up in weird
Frankie,
places.
Frankie beat his ass down.
Yeah, but then he got Frankie.
Because he got some goons.
Well, there you go. He got people. You know what I'm saying? Well, anyway, listen to my point. My point was, he gives Taylor all kinds of hell for what she did. And then he goes... Well, really, I think it's just a clear case. clear case of self-defense.
Yeah, they're making Jesse a little stupid now.
Honestly,
and I don't like it.
A little dumb.
I don't like it. You're making my Jesse stupid.
I love me some Jesse Hubbard.
Jesse Hubbard is not a stupid
man.
He's
not a stupid man.
So stop writing him stupid.
He is not a stupid man. You know.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is that movie? I am not a smart man.
Run, Forrest, run.
Yes. Forrest.
Gump.
I forgot for a second. Sorry. All right, fine. So then, after Taylor... Oh, Frankie. Didn't Frankie say to his mom that he saw a look in Taylor's eyes?
Yeah.
So now it's clear that she has post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, duh.
Duh.
And she had some beautiful scenes with
On Friday. With Jake.
Let's talk about that.
Well, let's talk about that. We see them in the beginning of the scene at, what's his face? Dr. Hayward's cabin. And he's sitting there with her. And she's picking some flowers or something. And she's got the trembles a little bit. And she starts to open up to him about her, what happened to her in Iraq. And this is another example of where, to me, the dialogue was terrible, but she made it work.
Mm-hmm.
She was beautiful in this. I loved watching her.
No, they were great.
For me today, I finally got it. I saw it. I got it. It made sense, and I loved it. She basically tells a story, if I could tell it really quickly. I think they were in a truck or something, and they got hit by an IED, mm-hmm. an improvised explosive device. And so four men got instantly killed. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Frankie's with them. And then all of a sudden, they start shooting at everybody. And I guess this guy named Brat. Mm-hmm. Think they call him Brat because of bratwurst?
Okay.
Name Brat. Have you ever heard the name Brat? People, I've never heard the name Brat. I'm Puerto Rican, but I'm not that sheltered. I've never heard the name Brat. So I thought maybe bratwurst. Maybe he really liked bratwurst.
Oh my God, you're
maybe
crazy.
Maybe his name was Charles and they just
Are
called him
Are you on
Brat.
Something?
What? Maybe his last name was Bratwin or something. Bratstein. Yeah. I don't know.
Bratwin.
Bratstein. I don't know. I'm grabbing the straws here. Long story short, he goes on nuts, right? And he takes a big machine gun. He starts at everybody. So Taylor has run into some house to get some equipment or something like that. And she runs out and she sees him going nuts. And she's like, ooh, trouble. And then before she can help him, she sees an explosive go off right in his face and he dies. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so he dies. And then we find out that Barat and she were supposed to be married. So she saw the love of her life die in front of her eyes. And I was crying. First time in a long time, the show made me cry. I cried.
Oh my God.
The viewers cannot hear. The viewers cannot hear those magnificent facial expressions.
I'm agreeing with you. I was moved by everything.
I hear a butt coming.
I'm enjoying Beth Ehlers.
I hear a butt.
I'll get to my butt. I'm enjoying Beth
Ehlers.
Please do. I'm enjoying Taylor. I love the scenes. I love the scenes with her and Jake. But my thing is still, I don't see her and Jake as a couple.
Listen, I agree.
I think they make great friends. I think they're the kind of characters that, that should be really good friends together. You know? But I don't see them as a couple. And this goes back to last week. They wanted up details about last week's episode. It started last week. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Taylor has feelings for Jake.
That's bad writing. We don't know that.
No, they started it last week when Chuck Pratt stuff started. All of a sudden, we're seeing
her. We don't know this. Yes, you know this seeing, as a viewer.
No. We're seeing this all of a sudden that she has these feelings for Jake because she's stalking Jake and Amanda.
She's never admitted. No, she is not. I'm disagreeing
with
you.
She's stalking Jake and Amanda. You know. Did you not watch last week's episode?
I did, but here's the problem.
And it was stupid.
You know the end of the story. You know that this Chuck Pratt hole is trying to get these two together. He's brought her on.
I know, but
it would have been
more believable if they would have set this up from the beginning.
Let me finish, Boppy. Please.
Go ahead.
I'm on fire this week. What we know too much. Did you ever watch Little Britain? Ye know too much.
Get to your point. I don't watch Little Britain.
There might be like a flicker of curiosity in her. But she is hurting. She's devastated over the loss of her husband.
I understand
her husband
that.
To be.
But what I'm saying is that...
We don't know that there's feeling there yet. There might be... No. You didn't let me finish. There might be some intrigue there on the part of Taylor. But we don't know that she likes him instantly and that he likes her. There's something starting that's interesting. But he's all over Amanda like white on rice. So we don't know yet. Oh, I saw your little eyebrow go up.
No.
So we don't know yet that we just know the end. So try to take off your brain hat, your brainiac hat that knows everything about the show because you know more than anybody else does about the show.
Mm-hmm.
And try to just accept moment by moment. Like Eckhart Tolle would say, the power of now. Don't think about ahead. Don't think about behind. Enjoy the moment for the moment. The moment is more beautiful than you think.
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay. Now let me say what I have to say because all that Kabbalah stuff that you were spewing, I don't know anything about. But anyway, I understand what you're saying, but you're not understanding what I'm saying. I'm saying is when the character was introduced, she was a hard ass and there didn't seem to be any inkling of any interest at Jake. And then all of a sudden last week, she sees Jake with Amanda and all of a sudden we see this flicker of jealousy.
She loves her man. She's
it's
not jealous.
Stupid.
She's
no, I'm talking
intrigued.
About. I'm not talking about Amanda. I'm talking about Taylor.
She's not jealous.
What did you call those scenes where she was watching them jogging and stalking them?
She was jogging.
I thought those scenes last week were bad.
She didn't know that they were jogging and then plan her route to run into him.
Those scenes last week were not well done. Those scenes were not well done. They came out of nowhere. All of a sudden,
she's like
stalking Jake and a man. I didn't like those scenes.
He is overselling
and
this.
And what was that 2 second love scene with Jake and Amanda? What the hell was that?
I was angry.
On One Night to Live, we get Blair's leg going up against the wall and she's pulling. What's his name?
I can't take
it. Did you see that shot?
I can't take
it. Did you see that episode?
You people have to send that to me.
No, you gotta
send me the link.
Her and, what's his name? John got finally hooked up.
Oh my God.
And Michael Easton and Katzenbach, they had this hot scene and they're ripping each other's clothes and they're throwing each other a bed. And at one point, she pushed them and the camera was like a tight shot up against like the wall. Or the bed frame, and he went up against the wall, and then all of a sudden, it's a tight shot of his face, and like he's looking like profile, and then all of a sudden, her leg with her high heel went bam up against the wall, and he looks into the camera at her leg, and then she pulls him down off the camera. I was hot.
Oh my God.
I was like, that's what we're getting at One Night to Live.
God.
And what do I get at All My Children? I get this little meat kiss between the two of them, and his shirt comes off, and that's it. And it cuts to something else. I'm like, what the hell was that?
I'm exhausted.
I felt cheated. Cheated, I say. Jake and Amanda have sex and I don't get to see it. I felt cheated.
My God. That's
even worse than when Greenlee and what's his name hooked up. We didn't see that either.
Oh, I can't talk about that.
Why don't they show love scenes on All My Children anymore?
I don't even want to see Greenlee making love to Jake.
Oh my God, that One Night to Live. That One Night to Live song.
You know, I used to think Greenlee was sexy. Now I don't.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because she's with Adam.
Thank you. Disgusting.
He's like a black void that just zaps all the sexuality out of people. Men, women, it doesn't matter. You go up against him and you become asexual. No, when was the last time, except for Sabine, when was the, any of the other women they ever put him with?
He had
chemistry with Maria.
Adam could
and
make,
Eva LaRue has chemistry with everybody.
Adam could make Giselle Bundchen look like Myrtle.
That's mean. You're trying to imply that Myrtle's like...
I love Myrtle, but, you know...
Myrtle was a hot ticket in her day. So was Palmer.
Fine. We have not talked about one other story. We're, like, done with the show.
I know, that's so bad. All right, what's the next storyline?
We finished these two. Oh, no, we didn't say one important thing that I loved.
What?
After Taylor talks to Jake,
yes.
Anita comes, and she gives him a sexy kiss, and Taylor leaves. And Jake is, I think, thinking about her because he can relate. He can relate, I think, we'll find out, to losing somebody. Well, she goes to see, Taylor goes to the boat where Frankie has just been nursing Randy. He and Randy won't make love because she told him that she was a foster kid and that she doesn't know how to make love and she never had sex with a man for love. She's only ever been used and abused. And so if I were him, I'd be a little scared of what's going on down there. You know what I'm saying?
That's horrible.
It's kind of true.
I think he has a lot more chemistry with Taylor.
What I'm gonna say. She comes in and she's so good with him. She like is in his face, stroking in. She's like, Hubbard, what did she say to him?
I forgot.
I don't know. Hubbard, I'm one of the girls and one of the guys or something like that. I don't know. She said something about being one of the guys. They have so much chemistry. Yeah. And in fact, didn't she kiss her like on the cheek and it looked very intimate to me.
I think they're missing a hot ticket. I agree.
I thought it was really beautiful.
I think the two of them have a lot more chemistry sexually.
What if they had had this relationship that started based on their common loss?
Right.
But then they knew it couldn't work because it's too loaded. Too much history.
That would be like telling a storyline, and I don't think I don't think All My Children's up to that yet.
You're right.
I'm sorry. It's too, you know, I can't even.
I want to talk about Lacaine.
Wait, I got one more thing to say about this.
What?
This Hubbard thing in my and I forgot what it
is. Frankie. Oh, Frankie is getting redeployed.
No, I'm getting upset about this because I'm beginning to think that they don't want an interracial romance. Because
ooh,
you know they dropped the whole Frankie Kobe thing.
Ooh.
They were a little half-ass about the Erica and Sam Woods thing. Because let's think about it, Erica and Sam Woods really didn't do much.
Yeah, but a lot of people didn't like Bobblehead all over Erica.
And now you got Frankie yet again having a lot of chemistry with a blonde white woman, and they're not picking up on that.
People, I think Mr. Hudson may be onto something.
I'm just saying.
We're just examining.
We've come a long way, but we still got a long way to go.
I'll tell you, when they tried to put Angie with Dr. Cliff Warner.
Yeah, we know what happened then.
That upsets me
because, you know, One Night to Live does it. One Night to Live don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Evangeline was with John. She was with Christian. They didn't care. They put everybody with anybody.
She didn't have sex appeal with anybody either. Evangeline.
Well, see, I didn't like her. I like Tika.
I know, I like Tika too.
I think Tika's a better actress and I think she's hotter.
She was acting, I saw one episode because I don't watch every day. I don't even watch once a week. But I saw one episode where Tika was acting her little heart out opposite this guy that didn't give a crap about her.
Oh, you saw that scene that I was telling you about.
Oh my God, it was so
good. Where he broke up with, she found out he was cheating.
She was astounding and he was terrible.
Well, that's why he's off the show.
Thank God, he was awful.
But wasn't she amazing?
She was amazing. Amazing.
Even that ex, that
she had boogers.
The other girl,
she had boogers coming at her nose. She was crying so hard.
Even that other girl, the girl that he was cheating on her with, even she was really good. Ooh, I was loving that.
And he was terrible.
Well, he's off the show.
Can we move to Lacaine?
Yes, let's move to Lacaine because I'm loving me some Lacaine.
Lacaine started the week having a little discussion with Ryan. That was nice, right?
Ryan bores me.
Norn. N69 appropriately noticed her high heels on the beach. That's nice.
Well, she's Erica Kane.
I know. I loved it.
She can get away with wearing high heels on a beach.
I still don't think that the writers have captured her voice or any of the voices yet. I don't see it. It's not happening yet for me.
Well, do you remember last week's? Because this is something we could recap because this is important to this week's. I mean, last week was the big reveal. Erica found out that, I mean, we still don't know for sure, but we're assuming that Carmen and Jackson slept together.
Hated it.
And Erica discovers them, and Erica and Carmen have words. I'll tell you this. I'm not buying it at all. I'm not buying it. I'm not liking it. I think it's going against everything that we know about Carmen and who Absolutely. Carmen stands for. I don't think that Carmen would do this.
Nope.
You know what? I realized, too, why this isn't working for me with her and Jackson.
¿Por qué, mijo?
Is because, again, writers today don't know how to set up stuff.
Yep.
Where were the scenes where we saw Jackson
flirting with Carmen.
Or realizing that he felt something for Carmen? Where were these scenes where we saw Carmen wow him?
But see, here's the problem.
It's just, again, it comes out of nowhere.
There's a problem.
What?
Those scenes would require Jerkson to act.
And the writers to write.
And the writers to write.
But that's my problem with it. Maybe I would have bought this more if we would have seen in all these months where he's been defending her, if we would have seen moments between the two of them where they're bonding and relating, then maybe I could stomach this. But right now, I can't.
Walt Willie has his limits. If he can't jerk his head to it, he can't do it. I'm sorry. It's just the rule of thumb.
Ooh, that was funny. But you know what was really funny was when Erica was talking to good Erica and bad Erica. I love those scenes.
Oh, that was delightful.
Those scenes last week, Erica, after confronting, you know, yes. Carmen and Jack, they gave Susan Lucci these scenes.
Angel Erica and Devil Erica.
Erica. And I was living. Because only Miss Susan Lucci could take crappy camp material like that and make it 5 stars. Mm-hmm. She was fabulous talking to herself. And I love the fact that bad Erica was really bad. She was really sexy.
She was.
She's like, you should just... Did you see when she was... When they showed her leaning on the chair and like that slit was up to there. She's like, yes. You need to just come there. She was all sex kitten.
She's great.
She looked hot.
Incredible.
And then Angel Erica was so saintly. I was just like... But see, I didn't like the fact that at the end of it all, she was like, I'm going to get Carmen. I'm going to show... Like that... That annoys me because you just went through all these months of trying to make this woman and character evolve. Why are you going to take her back?
I don't see what's so difficult. Am I wrong?
Well, you know what I say. She just needs a new love interest. I think her and Jackson are done. I don't want her
They're
with Jackson.
They're so done.
I've never liked her with Jackson. So I do got to say that I'm loving this Adam being interested in her. And him pursuing
her.
Those scenes are funny.
Is it really, truly, or is that for to get to Kendall?
No, I think Adam's always loved Erica. I mean, Erica is the one woman who's his equal. Right. He's always established that he would always like that. That's the one of his ex-wives that he just, you know.
Well, she was talking to Kendall about
Adam. I know those. I love those mama and daughter scenes.
I do too. But again, I'm gonna give you another example where Chuck Pratt's words don't fit for me.
Uh huh. Go ahead.
Erica says to Kendall, if Adam was the last man on Earth, I wouldn't date him. And even then, I'd look for alternate life forms. Dumb, right? Stupid. It's not even a good Erica joke.
But she makes it work.
No, she didn't. It didn't fit in her mouth.
No, I agree with you that it's not necessarily... It was dumb lines. But what I'm saying is, she's that good that I just bought it. It didn't bother me that much.
All right, fine. Well, then she goes to the fusion party with Ryan, and she sees Carmen. And Carmen and Erica air kiss. Did you see the air kiss?
Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible.
I don't like what they're doing.
I hate the storyline. I did love that Erica thought that Adam was their stalker. Carmen and Randy talk in the bathroom, and I don't care. I don't give two craps.
You know what I'm going to tell you about this? What's annoying me about this is that they're building this up to be so much, and I'm afraid that it's going to wind up being nothing because... It's like, are they related or are they not related? Because you know what? If they're not related, then why are you like playing this up so big? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's like, I don't get it. Why are you making it such a mystery if all they were friends that saw each other in the orphanage? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it such a mystery they can't like say that?
Thank you.
I mean, the only thing I was thinking of, do you honestly think that they might make Randy her daughter? That's what was dawning on me on, like, Friday's episode when she was telling Frankie about the fact that she really didn't have nobody, but she... And I was thinking, maybe that's her daughter. Maybe, like, she just, you know...
Why would she be in the orphanage with her daughter?
I don't know. Does anything make sense on All My Children? I mean, I was just, like, thinking, like... Because I'm thinking, like, how else are they related? Like, if they're not related, it's stupid at this point. Because they're building this up to be something that is really not.
Well, then Carmen leaves with Jack, and he's all like... Carmen, I like you. I want to be with you, not Erica. Not Erica.
She's bobbing her head. She's jerking it. She's jerking it like she's jerking a pole.
Oh, my my God.
That's from one of my favorite Janet Jackson songs. Really? Jerk it like you're jerking a pole.
Oh, that's nasty.
Well, the video's nasty. I love you, Miss Janet.
Carmen has some nice moments where she says, you know, I'm dating, you know, my ex, my best friend's man, and mm-hmm. that feels weird and blah, blah, blah. Hate the storyline. Hate it. There's only one storyline I hate more.
What storyline is that?
Kobe and Petey.
I'm sorry. I'm liking me some Kobe and Petey. I mean, I'm not liking me Brianna Mungie.
I don't have the energy to slap you.
But I'm sorry. Petey is so enjoyable to watch. I'm loving Petey. I only keep thinking how good
on,
it would
hold
be.
Hold on. I just lapped myself.
I'm only thinking how better, how great it would have been if Amber was playing Kobe.
Yes, if Amber was playing Kobe, I would eat it up.
But I'm loving Kobe. Me some Petey. Petey's hot. I like Petey.
Oh my God.
Petey cracks me up.
Oh my God. Oh my God. All right, I'm going to talk about Insani and Adam Chandler.
I love me my Insani and Adam.
She moves this week. Last week, people, she found out that that Ryan still loves Greenlee. So she moved out and she moved into the Chandler
Mansion. Those were some
mansion.
Good scenes with her and Ryan when she put Ryan in his place and she walked out.
Fine. All right. Now I know where Nipples Jr. gets his cutlets from.
Why?
Adam was wearing this merino sweater and his nipples were so rock hard. They were perfect little dots in his shirt. Perfect dots.
I have those. Why
I'm like, damn, Papa, you should wear an undershirt with padding. It's cold in that studio, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, and then
our nipples get hard. What do you want us to do?
Well, it's a little. Someone should have told the man. Should have warmed them up with a little heating pad.
There's nothing wrong with that. I got hard nipples. My nipples
on.
Get hard.
On TV?
They're hard now.
You ain't on TV.
They're hard now. See,
we're doing podcast audio.
But I think that's hot.
Well, Carmen, we left out the detail that Carmen overheard Insani plotting with Adam, right? No, we think she did, right?
They're not. It wasn't clear. They didn't show her like actually here. They show her like walking away, going
in her pimped out maid outfit.
Something like she was going things that make you go That's what they were doing.
So then Ryan comes over to see Emma. He hasn't seen Spike, though, has he? It's been a long time.
I think he's in music camp, too.
Oh, that's right. The deaf kid is in music camp. I forgot.
He's in music camp.
I'm going to give you one more example of really bad dialogue. Okay, so Ryan goes to see Emma, who's all upset. Daddy, Daddy, I missed you, Daddy. When are you coming home?
Did you notice that she kept stressing Daddy? She said Daddy like 18 times.
No,
I was like, all right, we get it. He's your daddy.
The directors are like, if you miss a line, whatever you do, just say Daddy. Just say Daddy. Daddy asks you what you want for dinner, just say Daddy. Ryan tries to smooth over things with Emma, and he and Sandy's like, no, Ryan, let me do it. I'll talk to her. And he's like, no, I'll do it. And then he says, Emma, things are complicated, so I have to go, but I'll be back. Mwah! Dumb. Lame. He could have had a heartfelt, real moment, but the writers didn't write nothing for him to say. Dumb. Okay. I was so mad at the dialogue all week. It was so all bad. Right. There was a lot of plot stuff that was interesting, but the dialogue itself, the words, the actors need words.
And we forgot to mention that Annie is now staying at Chandler Mansion because Babe has invited her to stay there because they broke up. And of course, that didn't sit too well with Adam.
Right.
And I forgot what it was Adam said. Adam said was, is Babe going to turn us Chandler Mansion into like, well, I forgot. Like he made a reference to something beforehand, like when everybody was staying there. And I thought that was funny. I loved it. I love cranky Adam.
He cackled his way through those shows.
I know, and I loved it. I love what Adam
pulls out that damn serum like Kendall with that damn pregnancy test.
That serum reminds me of David Hayward's serum. What was David?
Labetazone.
Which Jake mentioned it last week.
Labetazone.
Did you hear when Jake mentioned it last week when he was looking at Vanda? I love that.
We're going to have another Labetazone and we have another tornado. No. Give me a break.
Anyway, I loved it. I loved the whole Adam and Annie stuff. I loved them plotting. I love when Adam was telling Annie, well, this is going to be a good way for you to be, like, spying on us and nobody will know and we can meet here. Like, that was all good stuff. And I loved also when, what was it? Who was, I think Annie was talking to Babe when they were getting ready for Fusion and they were talking about Kendall and Annie goes, well, don't even get me started on that bitch.
didn't. I noticed that. And again, one of my gripes. Annie is so polar opposite from anything that she ever was in that mom.
I don't care. All I know is that she is fabulous. Well, she has reason to be. You're not giving. You don't understand that. That's the thing. She has reason to be a bitch now. These women, and I'm glad because she even mentioned it on the show, and I was so glad when she said it. They were like, I think it was Adam who said, like, asked her, they were like, well, what is your problem with Ken? And she's like, because they're in my business, because they're in my life and they don't leave me alone. And it's like, oh, I was so glad that she said that.
She manipulated Ryan. She's not a total victim.
Ryan is not a saint in this either. She killed her brother
and is manipulating Ryan. I'm not defending Ryan, don't get me wrong, but she is no saint.
We've already discussed this. Ryan is no saint in this.
It's just weird. I agree with you, but if Ryan
would man up and be honest with her, maybe this wouldn't have snowballed the way it has.
Everything is too evil. It's too evil. It's too one note.
He could have put an end to all of this if he would have told her the minute that he realized that he wanted Greenlee and not her, he should have told her.
And Chuck Pratt could have put an end to Colby, and he didn't do it. Why couldn't she die from that perfume squirt?
Yes, we forgot to mention that. Last week, Adam and Petey decided that they were going to make some poison or something. And our dear Opal drank it. Those were some funny scenes. And I was so glad to see Opal with Petey. Yes. And I love when Adam insulted her. He was like, hey, that's my mother.
That was good.
Petey's funny.
I like when Petey calls Adam the C-Man.
Yeah, Mr. C. Is it the C-Man or Mr. C?
The C-Man.
I think it's Mr. C.
Oh, I wrote C-Man.
All right, whatever. But it is cute.
That's kind of gross.
Yeah, I think it's Mr. C. Because C has
a... If you say that too quickly, it sounds a little funny.
Yeah, I think it's Mr. C.
But... All right, listen. He takes that damn giant flask of serum and poisons the giant Bella bottle, which is the dumbest idea.
I thought it was funny.
Oh, my God. And then Colby squirts herself, thank God.
I know, and I thought that was all funny. Colby was like, squirt me, squirt me.
Thank God. I wish she had died. Couldn't she have inhaled it?
You're going to die. I actually thought Rihanna Van Grief actually was funny.
I don't have the energy to slap you when she came in.
She was all like laughing and scratching herself. I actually thought for the first time that she was actually okay.
I'm going to let that pass because my arms are tired.
Oh my God, I'm itching now.
Well, she actually suspected that Petey drugged her.
Yes.
He almost kissed her. It was kind of, that was almost cute. Almost.
I know, and it makes me think how great It makes me think how great it would have been
if Amber had been doing it.
But there we go.
Forget
wishful
it.
Thinking.
I know. We're sounding like broken records with this. So what the hell happened there? There was a lot of stuff.
Kathy and her Wednesday Addams impersonation.
Well, we didn't talk about all the Greenlee and insanity stuff. Do you want to talk about that first?
Okay.
I mean, we have to sort of.
All right, go ahead.
Kind of. Well, Greenlee is now Miss Innocent, right?
Yes, she's all because she's in love. She just got married. She's happy, happy, happy.
No, but what I'm saying is that, like, she's totally understanding with Ryan. She's totally understanding with Amy. She's totally understanding with Insani.
Because she's happy.
Perfect. And Kendall's a bitch.
She's happy. And this is my question. Why is Kendall a bitch?
That's my question.
And I'm going to tell you why. If they're smart and it's good writers, then what you say, why is Kendall a bitch? Because deep down inside, she wants Ryan to want her. Because you know what? She's like her mother. She's never going to be happy with one man. She's her own self. Now, if they go down this route, they can save Kendall the character and Kendall's storyline. Because you know what? She's like her mother.
Fine, mother, but like I don't get... See, this is what you said yourself. You said yourself that from one day to the next, they just go from one thing to the next. From one day to the next, we get Kendall as a total bitch to everybody at Fusion. She is so mean to Amanda. So mean to her. And even Greenlee asks her. It's like she wants Bella to fail. And Greenlee says, if Bella fails, we fail.
I know. Well, she's calling her on it. But this is what I'm saying. Kendall's not acting rational. The fact that these whole few weeks that she's been so into like what's going on in Ryan's life. She has two kids and a husband. Why aren't you paying attention to them?
I have another question for you.
Why? Because you want Ryan yourself.
When did Adam get so jealous? Last week, he punched out Ryan. Now, all of a sudden, where he used to be a perfect gentleman, Adam, now he's super jealous,
man. Oh, but there's a reason for that.
Why?
Ryan wants Greenlee. No. Ryan wants Greenlee.
You're not hearing me. He was always a confident man, confident in the love that Greenlee had for him and blah, blah, blah. Now, all of a sudden, he is super jealous and punching people out for Greenlee and telling her that she can't see Ryan. That's stalker. He was never a stalker. He was always the nice, understanding guy. Yes, 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 yes.
I disagree with you. You know why? Because you're forgetting one important thing.
What?
He effed up.
How?
He slept with Kendall. That's always going to be... It doesn't make a difference.
That should make him even more understanding.
No. The fact that he slept with Kendall, he knows that's a strike against him. So he knows that Greenlee's... No matter how happy they are and they're married now, that's something that Greenlee can always throw in his face. That's always going to be there. So that's why he's getting all like, huh. No, I understand. That's a man thing, girl. Let me tell you. That's a man thing. You know you did wrong. You know you did wrong. And you're trying to overcompensate.
That you are finding a very big justification for the fact that Adam used to be nice guy. And all of a sudden, he's insane.
I disagree. I don't think he's...
Fine.
Look, you got to understand. Sometimes things happen to you in life to change you. You things happen to change you. Deaths, marriages, losing a loved one, getting your heart broken. These are things that could change a person as a whole. I believe that. I personally think that the character that we've been seeing of Kendall for the last 2 years isn't the real Kendall. I think this is more the real Kendall.
I have a question for you.
Where do we go from here?
No. Greenlee is now my wife. And Annie is yours. I know you two are having your problems, but it doesn't give you right to come up here and just dump it all on Greenlee. Just stay away from my wife.
I understood you.
Ah, shoot. Weird dialogue. Strange, didn't fit in his mouth. More than usual. I definitely had to turn on the closed caption for that one. And I felt sorry for him because as he was trying to spit the little words out, you could see his little mouth working so hard. It's just a poor thing. He was exhausted. On the high definition television, he took a nap afterwards.
You're an idiot.
I swear. He took a little nap.
You're crazy. I saw it. Where do you come up with this stuff? What are you smoking? Can I get some?
It's true. You gotta get the high definition television version.
I don't know where you come up with this stuff.
All right, listen. So that's all I'm saying. I don't know where else we can go with this. We could say Kendall, there's a lot of stuff that happened in between. All the storylines were mixed up, which is probably good. But everything was a little bit mixed up.
It just makes it harder for you.
It's harder for me to recap for y'all. People.
I think we're going to have to change the way we recap. Day. I think we're going to have to recap day by day now. Cause
day by day.
I mean, I know you don't like it that way, but I actually enjoy it. Because I think when it's just one storyline... That you're writing,
You zone out
because that storyline is boring. Like the satin slayer, you zone out.
Like Adam did after his big speech.
All these characters interacting and stuff. That's the one thing I will give Chuck Pratt. I do like the feel and the pace of the show. I still don't think that the show is where it could be, and I still think that I know I could do a better job. But but what I'm saying is that I'm still giving him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think that he's made it worse. Than what Barbara and James were doing. So I don't feel like it's worse than what Barbara and James were doing.
All right, well, listen, to wrap this up really quickly, obviously that was the scene. The scene I just reenacted for y'all was the scene where Adam confronts Greenlee and Ryan on the roof because Annie has told him that they're up there and he gets super jealous and he goes up. So then after that, he brings Greenlee home and he basically tells her that she can't see Ryan anymore. She gets pissed, right?
Yes.
Pissed. And in the meantime, Ryan goes to see Sani over at Adam Chandler's, and he demands to see Emma. And that biatch don't let him see his kid.
I loved it.
That was kind of mean, though. That's not right. She can't do that.
You go, girl.
She needs a court order for that.
You go, girl.
You should ask Randy. You need a court order for that.
Randy.
She knows the law. She knows that kind of law. Anyway, what I'm saying is that was weird. And then Adam Chandler gives Insani advice. He tells Insani she's going over the edge.
I loved it.
He tells her she's crazy, basically.
I loved it.
That was pretty good. So then at the end of the week, she calls him. But I loved it because she sees Greenlee doing like a little presser with the press on TV. And she goes, people, and she takes a vase and throws it at the TV. And I swear to God, people, there was a prop guy in the corner that caught it. There was a fake crash. Did you hear? It was like such a perfect fake crash. I was laughing. And she like tore, she like threw it underhand. She didn't like throw it. It was like a underhand toss. And the high definition, you can see the prop guy's hand reach out.
Maybe because she's a bad aim. maybe they did it like 5 times and she couldn't hit the team and they were like, oh, f*** it. Oop.
That is funny. Anyway, so that was that. Anything else with the Adam and Greenlee? And-
no, I hate Adam and Greenlee.
Oh, thank you. We had Jesse.
Yeah, I liked what they were going with this last week, and they're losing me now.
The payoff is not good.
Yeah.
Jesse got committed. I have a question for you. If he got committed, wouldn't they need his medical records? And what name did he register under at the mental hospital? It's not like he was in witness protection.
Yeah, I...
And then he's calling this girl, this person is calling him... So now he's called this person. You and I suspect it's a lady, right? But maybe it's not. Do you know a spoiler?
Because I don't know. I have not heard anything. All I know is that you had me last week. There were some beautiful scenes where we finally, because I was telling you about the fact that, like, part of the problem with the Jesse and Angie storyline was that
where the hell is he?
They rushed so into this. You know, it's like you had these two people, and finally they're doing what I felt that they should have done, which is the Angie's questioning. You know. When Cassie left, she told Jesse, she goes, I was stupid to think that everything would just fall into place after 20 years. And then it started dawning on her, what have you been doing for 20 years? Mm-hmm. And I was liking all those scenes, loving all those scenes. I even bought why Frankie didn't go to Jesse immediately. I thought that was a brilliant scene because I've been thinking, this is stupid. Why doesn't he go to his father? And even though I don't agree with it, I thought, wow, that made sense when he told his father, I'm used to like taking things care of my own for 20 years. So I don't have my father to go running to. But now it's like, where are you going with this? Jesse was committed? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
he's a good actor and he was crying with Angie, but there was no substance to what he was saying. And again, I'm going to ask you your opinion.
So
the words he was saying to Angie did not have a lot of meat. That's why you didn't buy it. There was nothing there.
The minute I found out he was committed, I was disappointed. I was like, that's not what I was expecting. And it's like, where are you going with this now? So what, he was crazy? You had him committed and now he's the chief of police?
He's committed and he still can't call his wife? Come on now. Did he say that he slept with other women but that he imagined her? Didn't he say something like that?
I don't know. All I know is that I really am disappointed with this.
Just you should really, see his face, really, people. We got to do a video podcast. Your face is precious. I thought they were
finally going to give my Jesse and Angie something meaty, something good. Because even those scenes with her and Crystal, and I think that was at the beginning of this week when she visited Crystal, and she told Crystal, she was telling, you know, and I love scenes like that. I love when the characters are like real friends and they're talking about their problems and their issues. Those were some beautiful, and Debbie Morgan and Miss Bobby Eakes have some chemistry. They are girlfriends. They are sisters. I was like, they were pouring their heart out to each other. I was loving those scenes. Loving those scenes. And then you dump this. Oh,
I hear
so
you.
Disappointed. So disappointed.
One storyline I wasn't that disappointed in.
What?
Our remaining last storyline.
My Wednesday Addams.
Yes. She's perfect.
She is saving all my children, my little cat, Kathy. Wednesday Addams.
Crazy Kathy.
For those of you who don't realize why I'm calling her Wednesday Addams, because Wednesday Addams is a little girl from the Addams family, and she used to always have her dolls with no heads. And the minute Taff found that mother doll with no head, I was like, Kathy.
She was always trying to kill people.
Who?
Like, she made little guillotines for her brother.
I know.
She was awesome.
I was like, Kathy is Wednesday Addams. That is her new name, Wednesday. I was like, she was cracking me up this week. I was at Virgin Megastore and I saw the Bad Seat for $10 and I was going to pick it up and give it to you because you need to see the Bad Seat, girl.
I do need to see the Bad Seat.
You have never seen the Bad Seat. Kathy is the Bad Seat. She was hysterical.
Well, I was loving it. Well, first, I always like any scene that Angie and Crystal are in. I think they're nice together.
Yeah, they are together. They're good together.
And I really loved it. I think some of the people on the blog pointed out that it was really nice when Crystal made Kathy like a peanut butter and jelly and banana and marshmallow and chocolate syrup sandwich. And Crystal cut it the wrong way and Kathy got so pissed.
I thought that was so brilliant because I felt like Kathy was setting her up.
Yeah.
Like, I think Kathy, like, that little girl was so good that I actually bought every moment. Like, I was like, and she was just like naming any crap to see if Crystal would do it. Like, and the fact that Crystal was, like, I think she was waiting for Crystal to say, like, no, we can't put no bananas on that. That's disgusting. And that doesn't work. And the fact that she kept saying all this stuff and still Crystal did it. And finally, when she cut it, I think Kathy realized, Well, you know what? You cut it wrong. I was just like, those were some great scenes. Those were some great scenes.
And I cracked up when Tad found the headless doll.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I was dying.
I'm like, how? What more evidence do you need that your daughter needs help?
But listen, the funniest episode of the week was when Crystal fell on that ladder, when little crazy Kathy shook that ladder, and Crystal's like, whoa, and she's headed right so for her baby Jenny.
The way they shot it, though, was so bad. I kept watching it.
It was like, whoa.
She looked like Blossom's brother, Joey Lawrence. Whoa. It was shot so bad. And this is why they don't win Best Directing, because that was horrible. That was terrible. And you know what I didn't like was the fact that in the next day, they didn't pick up from that.
No. They just showed the crushed playpen.
They just show her picking up the baby. Like that was corny. I wanted to see it.
It was weird. I wanted to see a baby Jenny pancake. It was just, I would have liked that.
But I got to tell you, those scenes between Crystal and Tad, don't tell me those scenes weren't good.
Listen.
Those scenes were powerful.
They were good, but here's my point. You need to listen to your task this week, Jordan Hudson, is listen to the words. The words are still not these characters' voices. I want to hear the characters' voices, and I want to hear good words for them to grab onto.
Look, all I know is that I was loving those words. I thought Crystal was calling him on a lot of stuff, and when she told him,
I want real words, real dialogue. People don't talk in like descriptions. When she told him,
she goes, "That's right, because Dixie did no wrong, so her daughter does no wrong."
Yes, that's true.
That was powerful.
That was good.
That was some, because you know what? I understand both of their, where they're coming from. I understand that Tad doesn't want to admit this. Yes. I could see that. But see, this is what I'm talking about. This is good. This is a good storyline, because this is what's going to break them up.
All right, fine. So what happens is Kathy completely lies. Crystal's pissed. And Kathy completely lies to Tad about doing this. And Tad believes her. And so Crystal calls Tad and Kathy on it. And then this is the interesting thing too. Very complex and subtle. Then Crystal's like, well, my baby could be hurt. I think she's hurt. So they call Dr. Jake, and Jake does a very thorough examination. He touches little Jenny's head. And he says, she's perfectly fine.
He touched her head, and then he shook it to see if there was, any noise or rattling. Yeah, everything's in place. Nothing fell apart.
She's fine. No, she's fine. She's perfect. So then Crystal recommends professional help, and Tad doesn't want to do it.
And Crystal's right, though.
But I think he agrees, right, that she's going to get it.
Yeah, but it's a half-hearted thing. Like, it could go either way. Like, I could see him telling Chris, I'm taking her to therapy and then taking her to play lat or something. Tad, you know what? But see, this is what I think is really good about the story, is that, like you understand where both of them are coming from. You know what I mean? Your heart goes out to Tad.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, Matt, this is his daughter with Dixie. Hasn't had her. You know what I mean?
I will give this a chance.
I'm liking this storyline.
I will give this a chance, and I will give you a 2-minute chance to talk about One Life to Live.
All I got to tell you is One Life to Live was smoking hot. Oh, my God. One Life to Live. The newest, hottest couple on isn't even a couple. It's a threesome, and they're not even lovers. They're all related. They're related. It's Todd, Tina, and Tess. They made One Life to Live this week. Tina has found out that Tess has put this, like, secret room in the basement where she's going to knock Natalie up. So Tess has now locked Tina up. And Todd figured out that Tess is in control. But Tess also found out that Todd has Marty hostage, so she's blackmailing Todd to keep quiet, because otherwise she's going to spill the beans about Marty. So then she calls Todd up when she captures Tina, because she needs Todd's help dealing with Tina. This is the smoking hot storyline. I'm loving this. And John and Blair are the hottest thing on One Life to Live right now. They are so hot together.
Smoking.
I mean, it's like sizzle, sizzle. Like, it's oozing.
And I used to find her a little sexless with Todd.
Oh, well, you know, it's not so much that her and Todd aren't sexy. Todd, as a character, is not supposed to be. He has issues with intimacy. That's the great thing about Todd's character.
Roger, what's his name?
Yeah.
Was delicious as Todd. I don't find this guy so sexy as Todd. The other guy was deliciously bad.
Oh, I miss Roger Howard as Todd. But I do like some Trevor St. John.
He's
excellent actor.
Talented.
He's brilliant.
But he and Blair don't have the chemistry that she had with...
Well, yeah, I agree. I agree with you to the extent.
Cassie DePaiva and Roger Howard have beautiful chemistry.
I know a lot of you are weirded out, but I'm liking this Todd and Marty stuff that's going on. It's dark and it's very deep. I don't know if you know, but it's very twisted. Todd's falling for Marty, and Marty has amnesia, and she doesn't know. Ooh, there's going to be some payoff.
good.
That is some twisted dog. I'm loving it. And real quick, some good stuff is going to come up with A. Martinez and Dorian. I know A. Martinez hasn't aired yet, but I got some major scoop. I'm not going to spoil it. I have major scoop. And all I'm going to tell you is that when this storyline hits, it's going to hit, and it's going to hit fast. And let's say that Dorian is not going to take Clint's little thing with getting Langston's uncle to take her away, lying down. Dorian's going to be a force to be reckoned with, and Lanvie's going to be smoking in the next couple of weeks.
I have one final question for you.
What?
Why aren't we doing the Lab You
podcast? Oh, I gotta even tell you, my Guiding Light was good this week.
It was good.
Because you know what? They focused on Kim Zimmer. Oh my God. For those of you who watch Guiding Light, this week was great because
she's a great actress.
Kim Zimmer, Robert Newman. Oh my God. Robert Newman deserves Best Actor.
How's the shooting going though? Like, is
I'm still not liking the shooting, but you know what? When Guiding Light has such a talented cast and when they write for them and they give them really meaty material, I was riveted this whole week with Josh and Reva and Jeffrey, because this is the first time that I like her with Jeffrey. I, as much as I want Josh back with her, because, you know, it's Josh and Reva, I like her with Jeffrey. And, like, Robert Newman was so good. And I'm telling you, next year, One Life to Live, best show, best directing, best writing, Bree Williamson, best supporting actress, Cole and Starr, best younger actor and actress. And Robert Newman, I think, deserves Best Actor because he was so good this year.
You heard it here first at the Pie Valley Podcast.
I'm sure they won't win because they deserve to. And, you know, the people that deserve never win.
No kidding.
But that's what I'm going for.
All right, people. The show has been 18 hours and 72 minutes. So we're going to stop while we're ahead. If you want to write us, you can email us, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page, you know, the place that we never go to read any of our email or look at our comments. But hell, go there anyway. www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you can go to our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com, where you can click over to the blog site and leave your comments, your thoughts, your ideas. We love, love, love all the discussions that go on our blog site. And also, there's a couple other fun links that are kind of old, but if you want to click, click. You're crazy. I gotta work on it. Right. Luis wrote me an email. Luis, I haven't answered you back yet, but he wrote me an email with some suggestions about how to market myself.
Oh, really?
I need them. Okay. I need some serious help. I'll take it, Luis. I'll take it. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
Here's a little something just for you.
Tell me about it, Morales.
Well, on the first day of acting class, Mr. Carr puts us on stage with our legs around each other, one in back of the other. And he says, "We're going to do improvisations. You're on a bobsled. It's snowing out. And it's cold. Okay, go." Every day for a week we would try to feel the motion down the hill. Every day for a week we would try to hear the wind rush, feel the chill. So I dug right down to the bottom of my soul to see what I had inside. Yes, I dug right down to the bottom of my soul and I tried. And everybody's going, whoosh, whoosh. I feel the snow. I feel the cold. I feel the air. And Mr. Carp comes up to me and he says, "Okay, Morales, what did you feel?" And I said, "Nothing. I'm feeling nothing." And he said, "Nothing could get a girl transferred." They all felt something, but I felt nothing, except the feeling that this bullshit was absurd. So I said to myself, "Don't worry about it. It's only the first week. Maybe it's genetic. They don't have bobsleds in San Juan." Second week, more advanced, and we had to be a table, be a sports car, ice cream cone. Mr. Cop, he would say, "Very good, except Morales. Try Morales all alone." So I dug right down to the bottom of my soul to see how an ice cream felt. Yes, I dug right down to the bottom of my soul and I tried to melt. And the kids yelled, "Nothing." They
called me nothing, and cop allowed it, which really makes me burn. They were so helpful, they called me hopeless, until I really didn't know where else to turn.
Mr. Cop comes up to me and he says, "You know what, Morales? I think you should transfer to Girls High. You'll never be an actress. Never. Jesus Christ."
Down at the bottom of my soul came up to the top of my head, and the voice from down at the bottom of my soul, here is what it said. What finally came to pass. Six months later, I heard that Cobb had died. So I dug way down to the bottom of my soul and cried. 'Cause I felt nothing.